The first reading tonight comes from Isaiah 5, which can be found on page 689 of the Red Bibles. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now, you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, so that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good evening, everyone. Tonight we're continuing our sermon series through the Gospel of John. And we're thinking about how we are to live until that day that Jesus returns. That's the title of this sermon series, Until Jesus Returns. I know that you'll find it helpful to keep God's word in front of you. So do wave a hand if you need a Bible. Someone will bring it from the back for you. And let's begin with a prayer, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for this testimony of John, Jesus' disciple, and everything that happened on that last night before Jesus died. As we look at these profound words tonight, please help us to understand them, but more importantly, help us to put them into practice. And we ask this for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. Justo Gallego Martinez, hopefully I've pronounced that correctly, was a remarkable man by all accounts. As a young man, he was living in a monastery in Spain when he contracted tuberculosis. And lay down on his hospital bed, he made a very rash promise to God. He said to God, "If I recover from this illness, I'm going to build you a cathedral." The kind of promise that you make when you're on a hospital bed, I suppose. Well, he did recover, and so he felt he had to honor his promise. So 10 hours a day for the rest of his life, he worked on that cathedral. He started in 1961, and I believe it was about half built when he passed away last year. And in all of those years, he never got any help at all from the church down the road, because they had a perfectly good building already. Well, depending on your point of view, Justo Gallego Martinez was either inspirational or misguided. But I wonder whether we sometimes feel a little bit like he must have done every day of his life, building a cathedral. If we are Christians, we are living to serve God, aren't we? We're seeking to be holy, to love one another, to share our faith with others. And it can seem a little bit like an endless task sometimes, often with very little support. To use the language that Jesus uses in our passage tonight, we all want to bear fruit, don't we? We want to bear fruit for God. And so the question is, how can we be fruitful in our lives? How can we make sure that this coming week we will be bearing fruit for God? And actually that we'll continue to do that through our lives, that in many years to come we will still be bearing fruit and we won't have become unfruitful people. Well, the answer, according to Jesus, is that we need to remain in him. Perhaps you notice that word, remain. It's repeated several times in the passage. So, for example, look with me at verse 4. Verse 4, "Remain in me," says Jesus, "and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And that brings us to our first big take-home point, our first heading tonight. We bear fruit if we remain in Jesus, the vine. We bear fruit if we remain in Jesus, the vine. As I said, if you've joined us as a visitor, we're in the middle of this series in John's Gospel. And let me just remind us where we are. So here in chapter 15, Jesus is preparing his disciples for life after he's gone. And although his words were spoken directly to those 11 remaining disciples, and they had a very unique meaning for those disciples, there are also lessons for us, because we too are waiting, aren't we? We're waiting for Jesus to come back. And just like the disciples, we need to bear fruit. And so Jesus tells them in verse 1, "I am the true vine." Now, this vine image is very striking, isn't it? I recently discovered that there's actually a vineyard very near here, just up the A404 on a hillside, just as you go past Marlow. And even if you haven't seen a vine close up, well, it's not a very difficult image to imagine, is it? I think we can all get the point of what Jesus is saying here. He is the vine, and we are the branches. So if we are his followers, we are connected to Jesus. He supplies everything that we need. He supplies the nutrients, the energy that we need to produce fruit for God. But if we're cut off from the vine, then we won't produce any fruit. It's fairly straightforward, isn't it? Now, Jesus isn't the first person in the Bible to use this image of a vine. And that's why we had that reading from Isaiah chapter 5 as our first reading. And Jesus is deliberately picking up on that imagery from Isaiah. So in Isaiah's prophecy, written 700 years or so before Jesus, well, the people of Israel, God's people, were pictured as a vine, weren't they? They were God's vineyard. they were supposed to bear fruit. They were meant to live good, holy lives. They were meant to love one another. They were meant to share their faith. In fact, they were meant to do that so that all of the other nations around them would see how wonderful God is, and eventually the whole world would come to worship him. But of course, instead of doing that, Israel failed to be fruitful. In the words of that reading, God looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but he heard cries of distress. Israel disobeyed God, and so they failed in their mission to be a vine. And so it's hugely significant that here in John chapter 15, Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the true vine. I am what Israel failed to be. I am the perfect vine." Jesus lived the perfectly good and holy life. He proclaimed God's name, and he showed the nations how wonderful God is. And the astonishing thing is that immediately after Jesus says, "I am the vine," he tells the disciples that they are connected to him. They are part of this vine as well. "I am the vine, you are the branches," he says. Now, they're not branches because they deserve to be, that they are still part of this failed nation of Israel. Like the rest of us, they are disobedient at heart. But they have been cleaned. We see that in verse 3. He says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." And if you've been following the series, you'll know that this word is the word about the cross. It's the word about Jesus departing to be with his Father and going via the cross to be there. It's about the sacrifice that would take away their sin. And so if we are Christian believers here tonight, then this is true of us as well. We are clean because of the word. And so, like those disciples, we are part of the vine. We are branches in the vine. We are connected to him. Now, as Jesus explores this image of the vine in tonight's passage, he gives us both a warning and an encouragement. So I'm going to start with the warning, and then we'll move on to the encouragement. The warning is this: unfruitful branches will be cut off. Now, this is frightening, isn't it? And I think deliberately so. It's meant to shake us up as we read it. Jesus says in verse 2, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." And then down in verse 6, it gets even scarier. "If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." It's a not so subtle reference to hell, which the Bible describes as a real place. It's this eternity without God that awaits those who are not in the vine, the branches who have been cut off, those who are no longer depending on Jesus as their source of life and fruitfulness. Now, I'd like to be able to gloss over this, but I'm afraid I can't, because it's here in the Bible, isn't it? And it's my job as a preacher to show us what's here. So let's heed this warning and not be unfruitful branches. As we reflect on our lives over the past week, is there evidence of fruit? Have we been trusting in the word that cleans us? Are we responding to that word by seeking to obey Jesus, to be holy people who love one another? And we'll think a bit more about those fruits in a few moments. But for now, a simple question: is there evidence of fruit in your life? We need to take Jesus' warning seriously, don't we? Because unfruitful branches are cut off. I imagine as some of us hear this, we'll be frightened. But we'll be frightened because we need to be. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us and shaking us up. He's telling us to evaluate our lives honestly. We need to be trusting Jesus' word that cleans us, and then resolving to live a life of service. Others among us may be very sensitive. We may be worried as we read this, because we think we are not fruitful when in fact we are. We worry that we are withering on the vine when in fact we are bearing fruit. Well, I pray that if that's you, then the Holy Spirit will reassure you. He'll help you recognize the genuine fruit in your life. And you need to know that God uses warnings like this to keep you safe. Now, it's a concept that's quite hard to understand at first sight. How can God warn me against something that is not, in fact, a problem for me? And to illustrate this, I guess the best I could come up with is a parent and a young child in their kitchen. And the child is walking over to the hob where there's a hot saucepan of boiling water. And the parent says, "Don't touch that. Don't touch the hot saucepan." Now, that child is never really in danger. Their loving parent is watching over them. But at the same time, the child does need to listen to that warning. They need to listen to the warning in order to be kept safe by God. So I say again, don't be an unfruitful branch. Keep on bearing that fruit, and Jesus will hold you fast. I guess the dangers of unfruitfulness will look a bit different depending on our circumstances. But here are a couple of suggestions that we can reflect on this week. How do you spend your time? Are you letting Netflix binging or social media or other pastimes take over the time that you had otherwise set aside to read God's word and to pray? Because the danger is that you will eventually stop being nourished by the vine, and you will stop bearing fruit. How do you think about church? I wonder, have you let your friends persuade you that following Jesus is just a hobby? It's something that you juggle in your life alongside the sports club or going to the cinema. Well, the danger is that you will eventually stop hearing Jesus' words as you stop coming to church, and you will wither on the vine. What about your attitude to work? Are we perhaps letting our ambition to succeed, whether it's in the classroom or at work, kill our passion for knowing God and loving Jesus? The danger is that eventually our walk with Jesus will be drowned out by our career and will be cut off from the vine. Friends, this is the warning of tonight's passage. But now the encouragement. If we remain in the vine, we will bear much fruit. We will bear much fruit, says Jesus. Now look with me again at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Just like a gardener trims the vine so that it will grow back even stronger, well, so our Father God prunes us to increase our fruit. It's an image of the tests and the trials that we go through in the Christian life, which train us to trust him more and to praise him even more, to live even holier lives, to love each other even more than we did before. And if we are Christian believers remaining in the vine, then we can be encouraged by this. We will produce an abundant harvest of fruit for God. I think it's summed up nicely in verse 5, which, as Thomas mentioned, is our memory verse for the year. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What an encouragement this is when we're feeling exhausted in the Christian life, as we have to go through all of those tests and temptations. We are being pruned, but we will bear much fruit. God will use us greatly in his service. Perhaps the illness or the anxiety that you're going through right now will one day help you minister to somebody else more effectively. Perhaps it will deepen your trust in God and your trust in the hope of heaven that awaits you. Perhaps you'll be able to speak more boldly about it to your friends and neighbours in years to come. Verse 7 is a great encouragement as well, isn't it? Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." Now, of course, we mustn't forget that he spoke these words originally to those 11 disciples. So first of all, we need to think what it meant to them. Jesus' words remained in those disciples, didn't it? And in fact, they wrote them down. That's what we're reading here tonight. We're reading Jesus' words that John wrote down for us. And of course, when the disciples asked Jesus for things, well, he did extraordinary miracles through them. We read about it in the book of Acts. But I think there is also truth in this verse for us as Christians. You see, as Jesus' words remain in us, as we read it and we study it day by day, we can ask him for things and our prayers are answered. Not the prayer for the new Mercedes-Benz or the new iPhone, but actually in the context of chapter 15 here, it's prayers that we would bear fruit. That's what Jesus wants to answer. We can ask for fruit-bearing prayers and he will answer them. Prayers to be more holy, prayers to share our faith, and so on. And what's the end result of all this? Well, verse 8. "This is to my Father's glory," says Jesus. "It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." You see, as we bear fruit, others will notice it. They will see that we are Jesus' disciples. And as we bear fruit together as the 6:30 congregation, people will see that we are following Jesus together. As we bear fruit, it will draw more and more people into fellowship with us, more people coming to know the Lord Jesus, being grafted into the vine with us and bearing fruit too. And wonderfully, we've seen that happen over and over again over the years. It's actually the thing that Israel was supposed to do, isn't it? The thing that we are doing tonight here at St. Mary's. We are the vine and we are drawing in those who don't know Jesus. I think this is helpful because it protects us from thinking that Christianity is all about me. It's not, is it? Because as we bear fruit, other people will know that we are Jesus' disciples. Those other people will benefit from knowing Jesus, and God will get the glory. What an encouragement that is to remain in the vine. We bear fruit if we remain in the vine. Well, as we move more briefly into the second half of the passage from verse 9, Jesus begins to spell out exactly what this fruit is. Maybe we've been wondering, well, what is this fruit that Jesus is talking about? Well, he mentions three particular things. At verse 9, he says, "Remain in my love." Verse 10, "Obey my commands." And verse 12, "Love each other." I think these are the three fruits that he wants us to focus on. And as we read what he says about these fruits, we're going to discover that they are commanded of us. We are told to do these things. But they are also proof that we are in the vine. They reassure us as we see these fruits in our lives. So you see, once again, it's this warning and encouragement working together, isn't it? Side by side. And I've tried to sum this up in our second heading. Strive to bear fruit and be reassured by it. Do you see? It's a warning and an encouragement together. And actually, the three fruits that Jesus mentions are rather hard to separate from one another. They must go together. They're intertwined with each other, a bit like the strands in a rope. You can't have one without the others. So, for example, it's rather difficult to obey Jesus' commands without loving Jesus' people, without loving one another, because Jesus told us to do that. It's one of his commands that we love one another. Or another example, you can't remain in Jesus' love and then not love Jesus' people, Because if you properly understand how Jesus loved you, and you're in that love, then it's going to overflow to those people around you, and you will love others. So these three fruits always go together. And by the way, if you're familiar with the letter of 1 John, which comes later on in the New Testament, well, this should ring a bell, because these three fruits are kind of the theme tune of the book of 1 John. 1 John is, in a way, an explanation of John chapter 15. It explores these three fruits, the fruits that we strive to produce, but which also reassure us when we see them. Well, let's look very briefly at these three fruits, and then we'll finish. So first, we are told to remain in Jesus' love, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. We are to remain in the love of Jesus that he showed us the next day when he died on the cross. The love that he showed us by sacrificing himself for us. In fact, that's what he tells us down in verse 13. He says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That is the extraordinary love of Jesus, which we are to remain in. How do we do that? Well, we do it by meditating on the cross, remembering the cross, trusting that the cross has cleaned us from our sins. We do that here on Sundays in our services. We do it in communion, don't we? We'll be having communion again in a couple of weeks as we commemorate the cross and what it means to us. We remember the cross on our own at home as we read God's word and we pray to him. In hard times and in good times, we remain in Jesus' love as we cling to the cross. So this week, let's strive to remain in Jesus' love by focusing on the cross. And as we do that, we will be reassured, because it's a sign that we are in the vine. The second fruit, obey Jesus' commands. Verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And then again down in verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. Well, how do we do that? Well, we obey Jesus' commands as we read the Bible. We read his teaching. We strive to be holy people who are set apart for Jesus as we battle temptations in our life, as we refuse to get sucked into the attitudes and behaviors of our friends at school or the celebrities who might be influencing us, as we put our obedience to Jesus ahead of peer pressure. We avoid gossiping in the school corridor. We follow the right procedures at work, even when our colleagues are cutting corners. As we seek to honor Jesus in public and in private. Well, this week, why don't we strive to obey Jesus' commands? And as we do that, let's be reassured. It's a sign we're in the vine. And the third fruit, love Jesus' people. Verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And then again, verse 17. This is my command, love each other. Now, if you were here 2 weeks ago, you will have heard me speaking at great length about this. So we're not going to cover that ground again. You can listen to the recording if you want to. But suffice it to say, loving one another is very difficult, isn't it? Have a look around you tonight. I wonder if we might be feeling it's rather difficult to love each other. To love each other sacrificially as Jesus does. To actually give up time, to devote our own time for people who are quite often rather unlovable. We'd rather stick with our usual bunch of friends, wouldn't we, than spend time listening to a Christian brother or sister who's struggling. But loving each other is an essential part of the Christian life. It's what we do if we are in the vine. And actually, that vine image really helps us to understand it. We are all branches in the same vine, aren't we? The Christian life cannot be lived on our own. We're part of the same organic whole. We share the same vine, the same roots. And branches of Jesus' vine extend around the world. Jesus, the vine, gives us the patience and the empathy that we're going to need if we want to love one another. Love each other as I have loved you, he says. So this week, let's strive to love one another. And as we do that, let's be reassured because it's a sign that we're in the vine. Now, for the 11 disciples who were listening to Jesus that night, I'm sure these fruit had a very unique meaning. As they remained in Jesus' love, as they obeyed his commands, and as they loved each other, they were going to found the Christian church. They were going to found this amazing vine that now spreads throughout the world. They were the very first branches. And Jesus told them, didn't he, in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." Now, what Jesus made known to those 11 disciples is actually what we're reading tonight, isn't it? John was there. He was one of those 11. And what Jesus made known to him, he wrote down, and we're looking at it tonight. And so via the writings of the disciples, Jesus has made known everything to us as well. Everything that he learned from the Father has been made known to you and me. And in a very real sense, we too have become Jesus' friends because we know his master's business, don't we? Jesus appointed the disciples to a unique task in verse 16. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Now, the 11 disciples were appointed to bear lasting fruit in a special way. They were the first of the new Israel, the first branches in the vine. As they loved one another and lived this holy life, proclaiming Jesus' name, well, the nations would come to worship God. And we see that happening through the rest of the New Testament. And because they were faithful in doing that, well, we too, 2,000 years later, have inherited that same task. We too are commanded to go out of here tonight and to bear fruit. May that be our vision as we leave St. Mary's this evening, as we strive to bear fruit. May we be reassured that we are part of something big, something that has gone on for centuries, something that is global. May our fruit be lasting fruit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words of the Lord Jesus. Help us each to meditate on them in the week to come, to mind the depths of what you said. Please reassure us if we are anxious about our place in the vine, but please wake us up if we are in need of shaking up. And may we bear fruit that lasts. In Jesus' name, amen.